National Radio Club.
This portion of Market Scope is brought to you by your radio. Record the stations in your market and send them to Phil. You, too, can show how your community sounds on the Market Scope.
Hi, DXers. Welcome to Market Scope for September 2014. This time, the DX Audio Service Time Machine goes back more than 40 years to listen in on the top 40 battle between KDWB and WDGY in Minneapolis.
KDWB.
You are more lovely than the day. October 19th. It was the day of the blizzard and the slush war. 638 with TDB. That's Tintin on the Big 63.
Hi, this is Happy Herbie.
At the 120 screen in its second big week, Rock Hudson in Pretty Maids All in a Row, rated R. And Richard Widmark and the Moonshine War, rated GP. At the 100 Twin West and the Maple Leaf, it's Monsters Galore. And When Dinosaurs Ruled the Earth. And the second thrilling feature, Valley of the Gwangi, rated G. The Hilltop features an action comedy double feature, Dirty Dingus McGee and Kelly's Heroes, program rated GP. More great film fun at all four friendly drive-in theaters.
The wonderful world of drag racing is off and running at Minnesota Dragway, 3 miles east of Anoka.
KDWB 2020 Triple K.
Maria, take this letter, please. RB Greaves, solid gold at 644.
Last night,
following the old hit on your secretary game, 646 with TDB. Hey, why don't you join me and Rob Sherwood in Project Concerns Walk for Mankind? That's happening Saturday, May 1st. For information, you call now, 332-8444. That's 332-8444. This is Bread and If.
If a picture.
And you and I would just split. Get a picnic basket, listen for the air raid siren, and leave. Live somewhere where we're close to each other. 649 with a true down blue. You know that pants are happening. Of course you know that. And when United Stores talk pants, they mean Levi's. From original hang-top blue Levi's to a mind-boggling array of striped flares, Levi's have got you covered with jeans and stay-pressed slacks. Levi's are made to go with you wherever it's happening. The selection of Levi's include a rainbow of colors in bells and tapers. Stop by one of the United Stores and they'll help you get it on. Their Levi selection includes the pants that you're looking for. The right size and the best style at a great price. They're built to last and most Levi's are stay pressed to keep them looking good. Stop at any one of the 5 United Stores and see what we mean by selection. At 801 Excelsior Boulevard in Hopkins, in the Harmar Mall at County Road B in Snelling, at 406 Jackson Street in downtown St. Paul, on White Bear Avenue at Montana, and at 1084 University Avenue at Lexington. Open every day, including Sunday, until 6. United Stores, home of famous Levi's. And nobody knows better than United that wearing Levi's is better than wearing pants.
Move it yourself with Easy Home.
Division National Car Rental.
KDWB 63.
Listen to the one. Keep on pushing. Straight ahead. Want freedom. Jimi Hendrix, 654 at KDWB from the album Cry of Love.
This is it.
That is it for TDB. Shall see you tomorrow at noon.
TDWB 63.
One talk over the line. Brewer and Shipley, 656. TDB. Rob Sherwood at 7 o'clock with more fun stories. Story time.
Keep listening. I need the bread.
One talk over the line.
Oh, rock on. Rock and roll on. David Essex, KDWB, and Bob Lyon, 1213. Vicki Gagnus is on the telephone. She's from Robbinsdale, and in just a moment, Vicki will win a $1,000 bill. She can correctly identify KDWB's secret sound.
Listen carefully. This is the KDWB secret sound.
OK, Okay, Vicki Gangness of Robbinsdale, for the $1,000 bill. Vicki, what is KDWB's secret sound?
Is it someone pulling the chain from a scene light off and on, real quick?
Vicki, could you repeat that, please?
Is it someone turning the light off like a ceiling light with a chain pulling it real quick?
Vicki, that's wrong.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Bye-bye. Well, you keep on listening because your chance to win comes up next on KDWB, $1,000 Secret Sound.
KDWB, just listen to the music.
KDWB, we're the one whose cash giveaway total is well over $46,000. Your chance at $1,000 with Secret Sound is coming up soon. Definitely the hands-off approach. Leave me alone. I want to go to my corner and think about it. Until I'm ready, KDWB and Bob Line, 1225. KDWB Twin Cities environment. Partly sunny skies and sunny to partly sunny the same way all day. High around 30, variable cloudiness tonight and tomorrow, low tonight around 20. High tomorrow, 30. Currently 25 degrees.
One day.
KDWB, we're the one that brought nearly 18,000 people together Saturday night to see Dr. Hook and Steely Dan in concert at St. Paul Civic Center. Now that you'd call togetherness. Oh, good show. Thank you. Someone told me. KDWB, we're the one with non-stop music. This is a big love affair. A mountain of love. Number one, KDWB and Bob Lang is 1240. All right, mark this Sunday on your calendar. February 3rd. 6 big hours of the Rolling Stones on KDWB. Starting at noon, the Rolling Stones story. From KDWB.
KDWB. Just listen to the music.
KDWB, Bob Lang at 1245. And you know, daylight savings time means that maybe some of the youngsters have to be going to school in the darkness. Or maybe waiting for the bus in the darkness in the morning. And so that they may be seen better, we'll send a free ever-ready flashlight and battery set while our supply lasts to anyone who requests one. Send your name and address to KDWB Flashlight Box 7630, St. Paul, Minnesota. Send now, they're free. Everything I'm falling in love, those are spinners. And Bob Lang at KDWB, it's 1250. If you're planning... KDWB, we're the one with Secret Sound. Your chance for $1,000 coming up within 15 minutes. Number one, KDWB and Bob Lang, 1254. This is a good song. Jim Croce and Time in a Bottle.
A cost of living help in the works for veterans. This is Dick Austin, KDWB News. President Nixon has sent Congress a message proposing a $13.5 billion veterans legislative package, currently 27 degrees.
KDWB, St. Paul, Minneapolis. Just listen to the music. 102 and Bob Lang at KDWB. Oh, now I'd like to give you a $1,000 bill. You can correctly identify KDWB Secret Sound, and your phone number ends in a 6. Then call me now. I'll take the 7th caller at 772-3595. Private Detective John Shaft, Isaac Hayes theme from the movie. KDWB, it's 105 with Bob Lang. And on the telephone is Kathy Bonetto, Minneapolis. And Kathy, in just a moment, will win a $1,000 bill if she can correctly identify the KDWB Secret Sound. Well, you know, it's winter carnival time. Lots of fun going around the Twin Cities area. And KDWB's True Down Blue be at the Senior Ski Jumping Contest at Battle Creek Park. That's this Sunday, February 3rd, from 1:30 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. And be giving away free Western Airlines Whoosh and Shoe Ski Kits, chock full of all wintertime goodies, including special national rent-a-car our discounts. So why don't you look for True Down Blue at the Senior Jumping Contest at Battle Creek Park this Sunday, February 3rd at 1:30.
She is a little bit of a must to avoid, Herman and the Hermits on the John Dollar Show. It's a Wednesday afternoon, not a bad day at all at all. Our mystery recipe did not happen to be cream of tomato soup. We've had guests this hour, meatballs, beef stew with vegetables, and cream of tomato soup. We'll give ingredients 4, 5, and 6 on hour number 2 of Johnny Dollar's Go. Ba-da-ba. 50,000 watt WDGY, Minneapolis, Minnesota. The merriest thing since Christmas. Good afternoon. I'm Don Jordan with the 1255 edition of WDGY Action Central News. Seven highway fatalities yesterday and the death of a St. Paul man today from injuries.
WDGY, listen.
Johnny Kitten. WDGY, Minneapolis.
I'm in the right place.
11:30.
The wrong time, I do believe.
WDGY.
That's Dr. John on Ouija. Shadow 3 in the morning with Johnny Ken. The most music and the most fun right here. Summer scene 73. Great summertime south with Gary Lewis and all the Flat Boys. Those green grass. Recycling 1966 of 11:30 karat gold.
If walking.
It's not too heavy, not too sweet.
And Gulliver present us in Hopkins.
W, most music, DGY.
That's Johnny Denver. That's his latest on WDGY. And the most music and the most fun 24 hours a day. I'd rather be a cowboy. It's 10:11 in the morning.
Twin City weather.
Partly cloudy today through tomorrow. Slight chance of a shower very late today or tonight into early tomorrow. A little cooler Tuesday. High today in the upper 70s. Low tonight, low 50s. And tomorrow's high in the low 70s. Fair now. 71 degrees in St. Paul, Minneapolis.
The Tasty Bread song. You get the message, don't you?
Tasty, tasty bread.
Keep listening to Rip Us Off for an album of your choice from Ouija's $10,000 record stash.
The critics acclaimed it.
W-D-G-Y. When you just give
up. See, that's a beautiful song. Since I Fell for You, it's Mr. Lenny Welch. 1964 recycled. A big chunk of 11:30 karat gold.
11:30.
Johnny Ken here.
W-D-G-Y.
The Bad Boy.
11:30.
Leroy Brown I'm talking about.
WDGY.
Reminding you the registration is now being taken for the summer sessions of community art classes offered at Nativity School, 1900 Stanford in St. Paul. Classes are open to all children age 6 and up.
I'm coming home.
Tie a ribbon around that old oak tree, baby. I can dig that, all right. That's Dawn featuring Tony Orlando. WDGY, 10:22 in the morning with Johnny Canton.
Summertime. WDGY.
Partly cloudy today through tomorrow. Slight chance of a shower. Very late today or tonight into early Tuesday. Little cooler tomorrow. High today in the upper 70s. Low tonight, low 50s. Tomorrow's high, low 70s. Fair now. 73 degrees in St. Paul and Minneapolis.
Smuggle. It pays to listen.
$2,378. Oh, my. You've got to be kidding. $283. Oh, wonderful. $618. Oh, thank you. $1,408. Oh, my God. $283. Thank you very much. I love you. $1,058.
See?
Yes. Yes. Oh, wow.
$3,948.
Thank you. I don't know what else to say. I'm all out of breath.
WDGY.
People get nice surprises.
18 in Hopkins.
11:30. Music's on us on WDGY, Minneapolis.
Will it go round in circles? I don't know. Let's try. It's Billy Preston on WDGY. Summer Scene 73 is here. 10:31 is our time in the morning on the Johnny Canton Show. You know you can win a 10-speed bike for your dad, a great Father's Day gift, and a 3-speed for yourself from Ouija in our Father's Day contest. Listen here for exciting details. Say, gals. Jerry Leonard, 5000 Normandale Road in Edina, and 2875 North Snelling in St. Paul.
QT Ken's satisfaction always, you'll see K-Rock.
1967.
D-G-Y.
Think of this 7, Rick Sago. The happenings on WBGY in a chunk of 1130 karat gold. I got some rhythm. It's 10:36 in the morning.
BG weather.
Partly cloudy today. Through tomorrow, slight chance of a shower. Very late today or tonight into early tomorrow. A little cooler Tuesday. High today in the upper 70s. Low tonight, low 50s. And tomorrow's high in the low 70s. Fair now, 73 degrees in St. Paul and Minneapolis.
Doc, WBGY.
Good morning, Twin Cities. How in the world are you? Huh? Ouija remind you, if you haven't found a summer job yet, join the Teen Corps and help build summer camps for the retarded at inner city projects and Indian reservations. Give them a call if you're interested.
And that wraps up the September edition. Remember, if you'd like to send in recordings of the radio stations in your hometown, send them to me, Phil Wayne, at 7545 County Highway 71, Harpster, Ohio, 43323. 9364. Or you can mail them to Fred at the audio service. The membership would sure appreciate any contribution you can make. Now let's hear from you. Here are the musings from the members.
This is Musings of the Members.
This is Tim Hendel with two things to say. I was very happy to hear the article in the August DX audio service about talk radio losing its audience. I have been saying for years and years and years that talk radio is one of the worst things that has ever happened to local radio. I heard the following item on August 17th on Geneva Community Radio, which is an internet-only station in Geneva, New York, a program called something like Breaking Through the Static. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights, and they talk about radio. Radio Disney is closing down, except for one station in Los Angeles. Sometime in mid-September, Radio Disney will be dumping all of its stations, stopping the program and selling the stations. This even includes the 1560, 50,000-watt WQEW, the former wonderful WQXR in New York. The only station left will be 1110 in Los Angeles, KDIS. I hope in particular somebody who can get the station will tell us what happens to 1560 in New York. I can't imagine that frequency will go begging for too long. My comments on the article on solar flares in the August DX audio service. This is not a perfect world. Things happen. Some things happen with a certain amount of predictability and inevitability, and we prepare for them. That's the whole premise of insurance companies. Some things, although theoretically possible, are so unlikely that people who act as if we ought to prepare for these things tomorrow are, in my opinion, nothing but sensationalists and alarmists. Coast to Coast AM is a good example of a program that likes to take unlikely events and turn them into "it's going to happen tomorrow" and sound the alarm for major tragedy. As for me, I have no plans whatsoever to prepare for a solar flare.
Hi, Kevin McGill from Madison, Wisconsin. A little bit of a correction on that one article it involved La Movita Radio here in Madison. They listed the frequency as 1040. It's actually 1480 and still going strong. So there you have it. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ginger Harms from New York. I'm one of those people that listens to the magazine, but you never hear. About the Dan Taylor and the AM/FM, no static at all, changing the lyrics. Yes, FM does have static. Several years ago, we had a very severe lightning storm, and you definitely do hear static on the FM band when a severe storm is very close. And also, Mr. Dan Taylor, guess what? He's working for WCBS-FM. So, how's that? Joke's on you, Dan Taylor.
Hi, this is Matthew Ellis in Springfield, Missouri. I just had a few things to say. I'll try to keep it brief. The guy in Missouri, Jeff City, I lost your name, John. I am getting the station out of Tulsa you mentioned. It's not coming in tonight very well, but I have gotten it. It's been booming in. And 1700 out of San Antonio is back as well. And I myself, for DX, I'm in an apartment. I just have regular old commercial off-the-shelf radios. I don't have any fancy antennas or anything, so what I get is kind of difficult. Usually very noisy. Usually strange noises that I don't know where they're coming from, if they're from me or other people here. So it's hard to always get stuff that I want to try to pick up. It's not always easy to get it. And do John as well in Kansas City. I think the only other, there are four Spanish stations there on AM that I would respond to that information. Mark Dernberger said people should talk about some things like that. So I also would love to know if there's anybody that is in the area that DX is, you know, this region or my state or anything. I'm just going to throw out my cell phone number out here anyway. 417-839-9251. 417-839-9251. Just wondering if there are other DXers in the region besides Dale and Sean or anybody else that just wants to let me know about them or the radios or whatever. What I was wanting to talk about was in the August issue about different areas, like what was classified as far as like regional stuff. Did the article, did it mention for even speak for this region what we like here classic rock-wise, what's played more? I've always wondered, since that was brought up, like what does my area have for classic rock? What's played a lot? What do people like? Where is this article? I would like to read it. It sounds interesting. And where was that interview taken from? That Sunspot article was kind of interesting. Where was that news segment taken from? I didn't recognize the reporters and stuff. I don't. What network was that? Just out of curiosity. And I think that's all. 73 and good DX.
Hello, this is Camille Pacheco of Weathersfield, Connecticut. Format change. WCCC-AM is no longer Beethoven Radio, and WCCC-FM is no longer Hard Rock. They are now both the same, broadcasting contemporary Christian music. Happy DXing, everyone.
This is Rusty Curry in Eugene, Oregon. I have an interesting format situation that I found. There's a station at 570 KCFJ, Alturas, California, about 250 miles southeast of Eugene, where I'm located. I grew up about 20 miles south of here, and I discovered it on our car radio, and it was KCNO then. I noticed that Radio Locator has it listed with an Asian format, so I streamed it to see what's going on. It turns out that they're doing radio, China Radio International. I think it's doing that full time. Seems like quite an odd decision to put a niche format like that in a place like Alturas, which is a town of about 2,000 people, with the nearest town of 10,000 or more being more than 70 miles away. They ID as KCFJ Alturas Reno. Now, their signal does get out a long way, but Reno is about 130 miles away, and I doubt the signal gets there with anything like rimshot quality. Now, that's all I have. Good DX, everyone.
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri. I have a couple quick thoughts on some other things that were brought up in the August DX audio service.
1190 in Kansas City, KPHN, is back on the air, and they have a Catholic format. It is apparently different than the Catholic station that's on 1090. And then, of course, also, if you've been listening at night, you may have noticed that 1680 from Monroe, Louisiana, is back on with their classic country format.
The article about the two-minute promise was really interesting. This seems to reflect a philosophy in advertising, and I wonder how it's going to go over because, you know, the big mantra has been frequency. Presumably more ads for less price, so we'll see what happens if fewer ads at a higher price is going to be the coming new thing. As far as the Steely Dan song singing AM, that was hilarious. And I'm sure that the IBOC people are thinking, yeah, that's what we want, AM with no static. But I wonder what that sounds like whenever there is a thunderstorm. Ted Richards, featured in the Market Scope with the air check of CKLW. I've heard Ted Richards on a couple of these oldies networks that stations have carried. And as far as classic rock, boring. They play the same stuff by the same artists like the rest of radio. No creativity, no variety. And I went to a St. Louis Cardinals game in late July, and I was very happy that KMOX turned off their delay so that you could actually hear what was going on in real time. Unfortunately, when the crowd got pretty loud, I had to turn the radio up pretty loud as well, and with the earphones on, that was just a bit much. But it was an interesting experience nonetheless.
Greetings, DX Audio Service members. This is Terry Livingston Hughes in Winnetka, California. I especially enjoyed the film reviews of Betsy earlier this year, and they just brought so much sunshine to my day. I really enjoyed those. Thanks for including that. I love all the articles that you editors and, I hope, club members find for editors and others to read onto the magazine, and I enjoyed the Market Scope from the 60s. From Los Angeles, late 50s maybe. Gene Weed was always one of my favorites on KFWB. He was on during school hours, I guess, part of the time that I was in school. But I do remember that he was on after school when I was in junior high, because it was from him that I found out about the Apollo 1 tragedy. I would love to be involved in hosting a convention out here in Los Angeles, but I feel very dumb. I don't know anything about how to go about that. I think I would need a lot of help if there's anybody in this area who'd like to chip in. If there are people who would like to lead sessions when they get here, that would be fine too. I can start compiling my list of cohorts in crime, and maybe at some point we can get that done. I'm sorry there is no convention for those of you who attend all the time. I've only been to two. 73 and good DX.
Hi, this is Mike Lance in Aventura, Florida. I have a few comments about radio. I think radio has become too sophisticated. Second comment is, I understand that Radio Disney is selling off most of their radio stations. What's going to happen with the stations? I just hope that radio can get back on track.
Mark Dernberger here. Comments on the Disney plan. They're not going off the air, if you call air broadcasting by some method. Instead, they're moving Radio Disney to internet streaming. I think the only reason they're keeping the Los Angeles outlet for now is that it also provides their production studio support. Disney's just out ahead of a trend. More and more such program services will be migrating off the airwaves and onto the internet. Now, if we could just do the same with about half of the sports shows and all of the talk shows and get back to real radio. But that's not going to happen. While we have you here, remember our Bandscan challenge to locate my listening post? Well, some hearty souls took a guess.
This is Terry Livingston Hughes. My guess for the location of Mark Dernberger's listening, I'm just guessing Chattanooga, Tennessee. I've been to Knoxville. It sounds like it could be somewhere similar.
This is Tim Hendel with my guess for Mark Dernberger's contest. Where was Mark located when he recorded all those station IDs? My guess is Jackson, Tennessee.
This is Rusty Curry. My guess would be halfway between Nashville, Tennessee and Birmingham, Alabama.
Tom Dimeo in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I'm going to take an uneducated guess. Halfway between Paintsville, Kentucky, and Frankfort. It will be interesting to see where he was. A lot of fun. Thanks, Mark.
This is Mike in Bournemouth in the UK with my suggested answer for the competition. I reckon that the recordings were made in Manchester, Michigan. So that's Michigan area, and I think it may be Manchester. Cheerio.
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri. I'm going to take a stab and guess that he was in South Central Kentucky.
The answer? Let me try it this way. Here's one of the only IDs we deliberately omitted. It's from a tower about 2 miles from our radio.
WGNS, Murfreesboro. It's 6 o'clock. And now, from the voice of Rutherford County, local news. Fast. First. Now.
We had some great guesses, and Rusty Curry and Terry Livingston Hughes came closest. In fact, Rusty's guess was about 90 miles from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, south of Nashville. So, Rusty, you get the prize. We'll be mailing you a CD full of radio station jingles. Oh, and by the way, it felt good that several of you responded to our request for more involvement in the musings. It's nice to hear new voices. Keep it up, will you? And for those of you who haven't done so, take this opportunity to add your own thoughts for the benefit of all of our DX Audio Service listeners. Again, that musings number is 419-741-0205. And thanks for entering our contest. We had so much fun. We'll do this again. But it seems we're going to have to make it more difficult. We had some really accurate guesses. It shows how carefully you listen. Now, listen to this.
This is the DX Audio Service.
From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, July 31, 2014. More AM radio stations taking their signals to FM dial, by Dwayne Dudek. Is AM dead? Absolutely not, said Bill Hurwitz, Vice President of Milwaukee Radio Alliance, who added that 15% of all Milwaukee radio listening is of AM stations. This means 85% of it isn't. And news, sports, information, and talk on WTMJ AM 620 and WISN AM 1130 account for most of that 15%. So, some AM stations are taking their act on the road and moving to the FM dial. Three stations here did so this summer alone. Two of the recent translators belong to stations with music formats, WZTI FM 100.3 and WJTI FM 97.9. WZTI FM, owned by Milwaukee Radio Alliance and called Martini Radio, like WZTI AM 1290, went on the air Monday. There hasn't been an adult standard station in Milwaukee since WOKY, said Hurwitz. Now there is. Actually, WZTI AM went on the air with the format in March 2013, and the poor sound quality on the AM dial likely has contributed to its meager ratings. In a recent ratings trend survey, it was ranked 29th among total listeners. It has since evolved into an upscale adult format station, said Hurwitz, who spent Monday driving around the area testing the signal range of the translator located on the American Towers cluster in the Esterbrook Park area. WJTI FM repeats the Spanish language music format of WJTI AM 1460. Both are called Radio Caliente and are owned and operated by John Torres, principal officer of El Sol Broadcasting. I do everything from sales to engineering, said Torres, a veteran local broadcaster who bought the former WBJX AM in 2007 and moved the license from Racine to West Allis. He said the approval process for an FM translator took 2 years. The third local station to add a translator to simulcast its signal is WSSP AM 1250, the sports talk station owned by Intercom Communications Corporation, which can now be heard on 240-watt WSSP FM 105.7.
Patrick County's radio station prepares to sign off the air. This story comes from WDBJ Channel 7 reporter Justin Ward.
You're listening to WHEW.
The only radio station serving Patrick County is signing off the air at the end of the month. High on a hill in Stewart, overlooking most of the area it serves, is a little white building that houses the voices of the region. Daniel Lewis has spent 8 years behind the microphone and his lifetime listening to 1270 AM WHEO.
The bigger FM stations, you can't call in your birthdays to those stations. You know, you can't get information when you call and say, hey, what's going on down here in downtown Stewart?
The heart of Patrick County lives up to its slogan, airing local programming from preaching to several Trading Post shows and local news and talk 7 days a week. That close relationship with listeners has paid off.
Do you know how many dogs have been found through WHEO radio? Do you know how many cows and horses have been found? There's going to be a lot of things missed, and people are not going to realize it until we're off the air.
On August 31st, this station, WHEO, the only one that serves the county, is signing off. Employees say the ad revenue isn't as impressive as it once was.
When you go someplace and they say, you know, we can't afford to advertise, we're barely keeping our heads above water, you know, it's really difficult.
WHEO first signed on the air in 1959. It's turned into a family. So are its listeners.
WHEO is friends and family. We get really personal on the radio with the people, and because we know that we'll see them when we leave here.
The entire staff will have to find new jobs, but they're hoping their signal won't stay silent for long. Lewis believes WHEO may have a chance of reopening.
Is there a chance that WHEO could reopen?
I'm thinking so. You know, it's we got a strong community of believers here, and they pray.
Lewis says the station needs new owners to make that happen. But until then, they're just saying goodbye for now.
And that was Dolly Parton and Kenny.
And this was Patrick County's radio station prepares to sign off by WDBJ Channel 7 reporter Justin Ward. I'm Fred Volbe for the DX Audio Service.
Here we adapt an article on improving AM reception. It's from a series entitled AM or Shortwave Reception Problems We May Be Able to Help. And it's written by Chris Justice at AT Radio Labs. Before we get into Chris's comments, as an editorial aside, please be aware that I've modified his comments somewhat to make this sort of a joint presentation between us. Chris starts the comments. I know that this topic has been discussed and written about many times, but I think noise is important enough that we need to discuss it again from a technical, yet not so technical, standpoint. Good reception is very easy if you have the right tools, mostly knowledge. I have found through the years of designing products, it's always easier to fix a problem than throw a big Band-Aid on it. First, we need to review what noise floor is. It's the noise in your radio when there's no station present, and it's the killer, because a high noise floor will swamp out even local signals, as you know. So our goal is to reduce the noise floor as much as we can. With a high noise floor, you might as well be listening to a $5 pocket radio. Don't get frustrated with your radio. It's really not the radio's fault. Radio noise is a problem as old as radio itself. Unfortunately, it's getting worse as technology steadily progresses and more man-made electronic products hit the shelves. This is a direct result of consumer products that generate an increasingly higher noise level. For instance, the computer I'm writing this article on and the monitor, these two devices generate a huge amount of noise and would give any AM receivers a very bad time. The dimmer switch for the office lights, bad news. Even the low-power fluorescent light bulbs I have overhead cause a problem for any AM reception. Second, we need to visualize that good reception is simply defined as the desired station being stronger than the noise. There are two ways to get there. We can use an antenna that boosts the station signal, as long as it doesn't raise the noise floor. That often means an outdoor antenna, and that may be beyond practicality for you. So we like to focus on the loop antenna as being a good compromise for an indoor antenna. We'll come back to antennas in a moment, but first, let's focus on the noise itself. Because with a low noise floor, even a simple pocket portable will do the job on distant stations. The following are sources of noise that can generate headaches. Dimmer switches and dimming lamps. These will make it almost impossible to receive any kind of signal, regardless of the type of receiver you have or where you're located. You'll get nothing but noise. The best way to deal with dimmer noise is to make sure the dimmer switch is all the way off. Overhead power line. The only way to tell if power lines are adding noise is to take a small portable receiver outside and walk around until you get up to the power pole, and the noise, if it's at its maximum, hitting the pole, yes, hitting it, can also tell you a lot. If the noise crackles or you hear it change or even go away, this is a good telltale sign that the insulators might be dirty. Contact your local power company if you suspect that source of noise is coming from the power poles. They can come out and clean the insulators, maybe eliminate the problem. And you know, power companies are generally very responsive, since you might be identifying a future problem for them that could impact their service. But in dealing with the power company, you need to be prepared. Make a recording of the noise you've chased down, and be prepared to explain how you got that recording and where your radio was when you made the recording. Offer your radio as a tester so the power company troubleshooter can hear it for himself. Next, fluorescent lights. Every fluorescent light has a ballast. A ballast is basically a transformer used to step the voltage up. This can cause a tremendous amount of noise on any nearby receiver. If you have a specific room that you listen to the radio in, make sure those lights are turned off. The best light is still the old incandescent lamp. Yes, serious efforts have been made to reduce the noise coming from the new consumer bulbs, but some of them still create some level of noise. If you can, stay with incandescents. This may sound silly, but turn off any computers when you're trying for DX, and don't forget the monitor. Computers can be a huge source of noise. Now, this is not just limited to the thing in front of you with the keyboard. Many things have computers inside of them. Your modem, for example, a router, a clock, sprinkler, timer, microwave oven, cordless phones, even satellite receivers and digital TV converters. Some of the biggest offenders are cell phone battery chargers and other battery chargers. You can tell immediately if these devices are adding noise by placing your radio near them and listening. The TV set, turn it off or get as far away from it as possible. Motors. Most types of motors generate or develop a certain amount of what's called electromagnetic noise. Houses hold motors that shouldn't be overlooked. Refrigerators, fans, inside heaters and air conditioning units, dehumidifiers, bathroom fans, and so on. If it makes physical noise, sounds like a motor, and turns something, it's probably causing noise. An often overlooked source of noise is fish tank heaters. Another, a microwave or other appliance that has light and fan switches. I recently found an otherwise lovely microwave immediately generated serious noise when the fan was on at a low setting. It kind of interrupted what I was trying to do on a recent band scan until I chased it down, and actually, it was the last thing I looked at because I couldn't believe that microwave fan would generate that kind of hash. Now, some of these noises are sources that may be outside your control. If you're an apartment dweller, it's possible you have a neighbor next door who has a computer or fluorescent light right behind the wall next to you. You'll know if this is a problem when you carry your radio toward the common wall if the noise picks up. A search for the best reception locations usually leads you to an outside window, no real surprise there, and your noise-reducing efforts will lead you to shutting down as many offending devices as possible. Bottom line here is for best reception, you'll want to use a battery-operated radio, and you may shut off all the electrical power in your house. So to summarize, you must attack those noise sources before you start thinking about investing in equipment to better your situation. Now, if you've done your best to reduce noise, let's see what else might be possible. The next step is antenna alternatives. You hear the ads for the high-performance radios all the time, but in reality, if you've managed to beat down the noise, any small radio can benefit from just a simple antenna. In fact, a $30 antenna can increase your radio reception even more than spending money on high-quality radios. And here we run into Murphy's Law. Often, adding an antenna helps reception of distant signals, but the antenna may increase the noise at the same time. Antennas are either active, requiring power, or passive, not requiring a battery or power. Because of the way they're designed, they're usually directional, and you can physically point the antenna toward the signal. The best type of AM antennas have a tuning knob, so you can simply tune the antenna to the desired station you're trying to receive. A tuned antenna not only increases AM radio signals, but the tuning itself can actually help reduce some of the noise. Probably the best form of external antenna for home listening is the loop antenna. The loop can both maximize radio signals and minimize local noise. Loop antennas can be pricey, but they deliver excellent bang for the buck. Murphy's Law number two is that external antennas generally require that your radio have an external antenna jack. And by the way, if you are considering a radio upgrade, an external antenna jack is one of the first features you should look for. If you don't have an external antenna jack on your radio, well, most radios have an internal ferrite rod antenna, usually located inside toward the top of the radio. That rod is just a large coil of wire, basically a signal magnet. This also makes the portable radio directional, so you point the flat side of the radio toward the station to increase the signal. Okay, you have a good AM antenna, you have the antenna tuned to the station, you have it pointed directly at the AM station, and you still have noise. Well, that's because most likely you're pointing the radio, the AM antenna, or both at the source of the noise. So now it's time to step back and think a little bit about where you found the noise sources. And maybe by simply moving farther from those noise sources, you can find a clearer signal path between your radio and antenna and the station you want. This becomes a three-dimensional exercise in placement, and it can be frustrating but rewarding as well. When you locate that sweet spot where you've got the minimum of local noise pickup and the maximum of station signal. Good hunting, we say. The bottom line? Good reception requires an investment in time and rarely equipment. Follow the guidelines for noise reduction before spending any money. If you do want to invest in equipment upgrades, we strongly suggest your first dollars be spent on an active antenna. And if you can't buy a loop, then an active tuned antenna. And only at the bottom of the list is a new receiver. Radiolab suggests some of these as good radio investments. There's the Kaito, K-A-I-T-O, K-A-11, the Kaito K-A-11-03. Sanjian has some models, ATS-404, 505, and 818-CS. And this last one, the Sanjian ATS-818-CS, is pretty cool because it has a cassette recorder built in. Then there's the Radiolab's Super 909. And Chris points out, we modify it, and it has the best noise filters of all the radios listed. Remember again, as you buy a radio, a baseline requirement should be an external antenna jack. The best sounding, most hi-fi radio in the world is pointless without a low noise floor for AM reception. After all, what good is it to have the best sounding radio in the world if all you can listen to is high fidelity noise? Don't buy a radio for its sound quality if you're addicted to AM radio listening. It's like putting gold-plated wheels on a 1978 station wagon. Put your money in an antenna first. Well, we hope this joint presentation is of some use. Let us know if we can help. You can contact Chris Justice at AT Radio Labs. And if folks request it on the Musings line, we'd be glad to do a review of active tuned antennas and loop antenna options for you. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service.
Longtime radio hosts Jack Bogut and Bill Cardell say farewell. This story was written on August 7th, 2014 by Sarah Schneider for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. A front desk receptionist at WJAS answered a call from a listener Wednesday, hours after longtime radio hosts Jack Bogut and Bill Cardell aired their farewells from the AM music station. Yes, they decided it was time to retire, and they are not going to continue with the new owner, she told one of several listeners who called in with similar questions throughout the morning. Neil Diamond, Petula Clark, and James Taylor still played after Cardell and Bogut signed off, but the radio station will soon switch from oldies music to talk. Frank Iorio, owner of Radio Partners LLC, closed the purchase of WJAS 1320 from Renda Broadcasting on Friday. Neither he nor the two hosts could be reached for comment. Mr. Iorio is no stranger to radio in western Pennsylvania. He owns six stations throughout the region. In a June Post-Gazette article, Mr. Iorio said it was possible he would continue the same format the station has had for so long. But Mr. Cardell and Mr. Bogert said it was time to move on. Mr. Cardell has been with WJAS for 19 years and was on the air from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the weekdays, the slot after Mr. Bogut, who hosted from 6 to 10 a.m. with Bogut in the morning. We watched the music change over the years. We no longer play the old, old oldies, but the radio station has grown. The audience has been loyal beyond belief. It has been such a treat, and for broadcasters to be able to play to the same audience for a really long period of time in this business is rare. Mr. Cardell will continue public appearances and his work with the Living Dead Festival, which commemorates the filming of the zombie movie Night of the Living Dead in Pittsburgh nearly 46 years ago. Mr. Cardell appeared in a key role of the film. From 1963 to 1983, he hosted Chiller Theater, a late-night horror movie show on Channel 11. Any other city but Pittsburgh, if you were talking about being involved in Night of the Living Dead, do you know how strange that would sound? Mr. Bogut joked to Chilly Billy. In a 57-year career, Mr. Cardell started in radio in high school and expanded into TV after college. He also hosted Channel 11's Studio Wrestling for many years. I've worked every day since 1952. Isn't that amazing? He said to Mr. Bogut. Mr. Bogut has called Pittsburgh home for most of his 60-year career, and he was the longtime morning host on KDKA. Joni and I had a chance to move to Chicago and to New York City to do the morning show on WABC many years ago, Mr. Bogut said. And we decided at the time that we were raising our kids here, and we loved Pittsburgh more than any other place we had been. So we decided to stay. And looking back now, it was exactly the right decision. He has been named Pittsburgh's Outstanding Radio Personality four times by the American Federation of Television and Radio Announcers. Mr. Bogut has hosted the morning show for several years and said he continued with radio after a brief fling with television because of the same dedicated fans who called into the station all morning. In any kind of business, if you could work 57 or 60 years and have fun all the time, that is really special. but we could not have done any of it without the audience, he said. From both of us, thank you for listening to us all these years and full speed ahead, Mr. Bogut said. This article was titled Longtime Radio Hosts Jack Bogut and Bill Cardell Say Farewell. It was written by Sarah Schneider for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and I'm Wally Warrow here in Dallas, Texas, where a lot of the Jack Bogut jingles they played on KDKA over the years were recorded. And Fred, if you happen to have one handy, why don't you play one right now?
Bogut in the morning. This is the music that is oh so pretty. KDKA, we're making friends at KM20.
Radio legend Don Cannon, dead at the age of 74. This story is by David Gambricorda of the Daily News Staff. Maybe you were in the car, stuck in traffic on some god-awful highway, or thumbing through your paperwork at your desk, or perhaps dragging butter across a piece of burnt toast in the kitchen, listening to this.
21 minutes in front of 6 o'clock, going home with Don Cannon from WIBG. Mac Davis, especially from Morristown, had some phone call up. I seem to like this particular song. It's good, too. Maybe.
Either way, you would have heard his voice as you start your day. It was as familiar as your favorite uncle's both deep and impossibly cheerful sound. All right, Cupcake, let's get a move on it this morning. The voice and the warmth, witty asides like that one, belong to longtime local morning show host Don Cannon. Cannon, who was born Dominic Cazzano in New York and went on to make an indelible mark in the radio industry, died early yesterday at Lincolnow Medical Center after a courageous battle, his family said. He was 74 years old and lived in Bluebell, Pennsylvania. Cannon was part of the 50s singing group called the Dreamers before he landed a handful of gigs at radio stations in New York, according to a website for WDRC, a Connecticut radio station that Cannon called home just before he landed at WIBG 99 in Philadelphia in 1969. Former colleagues said Cannon's conversational approach was instantly recognizable and proved to be a template that's been widely copied by many of today's morning show hosts. He earned a vocal cameo in the first Rocky movie, rifling over the radio in the background while actor Sylvester Stallone guzzled a morning cocktail of raw eggs. Don always used to joke, "That was my big cameo, and everyone was so grossed out by that scene, they couldn't hear me," said Cindy Webster, marketing director for CBS Radio Philadelphia. The Cannon and the Morning Show migrated from WIBG to 4 other Philly stations before landing at 98.1 WOGL in 1990. Webster said that she worked with Cannon from 1992 until he retired from WOGL in 2004. Don was larger than life, she said. When you walked into the studio, he was always dressed like a million bucks. He looked like a movie star. Cannon was known as the Dean of Philadelphia Morning Radio, according to the broadcast Pioneers of Philadelphia. He was, of course, a member of the broadcast Pioneers. The organization's website said Cannon worked with hundreds of charities in the region and was awarded the March of Dimes Lifetime Achievement Award in 1999. Don was the kind of guy who, when he walked into the room, just took it over, WOGL music director Tommy McCarthy said. The two men were friends for 34 years. A lot of people and their persona on the radio is sometimes nothing of what they're like in person, McCarthy said. But Don was the same person you heard on the air and you met in public. He always had a smile on his face and always had a hand out to shake. Cannon is survived by his wife, Terry, 2 sons, and 2 granddaughters.
Talk Radio 101.1 talk show host fired. This story appeared on the WJHG Channel 7 website and was written by reporter Brian Grieg. A somewhat controversial local talk show host is off the air. Magic Broadcasting fired Bernie Thompson last Friday from Talk Radio 101. Thompson had hosted a show on Talk Radio 101 for 8.5 years. Magic Broadcasting management declined to discuss the matter, but Thompson claims he was told his ratings were not high enough. Thompson offers a different reason.
About 3 months ago, I was told by Magic Broadcasting not to criticize Republicans by name. I was told that that would make it more likely that Democrats would win elections. Well, my show is not about partisanship. It's not about Republican or Democrat. It's about the truth.
Thompson says he holds no ill will towards Magic Broadcasting and is grateful for ownership allowing him to start his career there. He now is in the process of launching an internet-based talk show on Monday at www.myfreedomradio.com. This story is from WJHG in Panama City Beach, Florida.
When lightning strikes. This story comes from Channel 12 in Phoenix and reporter Randy Cordova. The thunderstorm on Thursday, August 19th, devastated the home of popular KNIX-FM personality Matt McAllister. Lightning struck the North Scottsdale house around 12:30 p.m., creating a 10-foot hole in the roof and forcing the disc jockey and his family to find temporary lodging. Our day yesterday was crying and then laughing, said McAllister, half of the Ben and Matt morning duo. First, you're trying to get your head around what just happened to your home and the fact that you can't live there anymore. Then you're laughing, like, is this really happening to us? McAllister and fiancée Vanessa Gibbs moved into the Pinnacle Peak area home 3 months ago with her two children. The home was newly remodeled when the family took residence. Together, the couple furnished the house. Everything's new, McAllister said. We were just starting to feel like we settled in and getting our lives back. And then this happened. Gibbs was home alone when lightning struck the 4,000-square-foot home. The bedroom and electrical system were essentially destroyed. There are cracks throughout the house, and the surge of electricity blew metal nails from the drywall. McAllister has yet to tally the damage. Some furniture and all the electronics were damaged. Basically, anything that was plugged in is now toast, he says. No neighboring houses suffered damage from the lightning strike. Gibbs, a photographer, escaped without injury. That's what I'm thankful for, McAllister says. At the end of the day, it's just stuff. I'm so grateful nobody was hurt. McAllister talked about the incident on Wednesday's broadcast and posted about it on Facebook and his Twitter feed. According to the July Nielsen ratings, KNIX is the second-highest rated station in Phoenix, meaning a lot of fans follow his life. The outpouring has been unbelievable, he says. Strangers have offered for us to come and stay with them. It's been amazing. You get these warm and heartfelt messages and you realize how blessed you are. Coincidentally, a commercial McAllister had recorded for eSurance, home insurance, aired during Wednesday's show. Let's just say I haven't filed the necessary paperwork yet, McAllister joked. It's been a turbulent period for McAllister. In December, he broke his hip. In April, he had a pacemaker installed. And now that the family will be out of their house for several weeks, it means a delay in wedding plans. McAllister and Gibbs plan to get married in their backyard. When stuff like this happens, I realize how lucky I am, he says. As crazy as it sounds, there's always a silver lining. With Vanessa and me, this just makes our relationship stronger. For the DX Audio Service in Dallas, I'm Wally Warrow.
And finally, New York area pirate FMs keep the FCC's direction finder very busy. Commission staffers in downtown Manhattan could probably detect some offenders in Brooklyn without even hopping into their specially equipped truck. The agency cited Malvina Eccleston for operating an unlicensed FM station at 102.3, Evner Leon for running at 90.9, Jerry Bowden for broadcasting at 95.1, and Patrick Duman on the air at 94.1. Those were all detected in Brooklyn, and sadly, that's not an unusual haul of pirates in New York City. Out on Long Island, Stefan Kedner decided 94.1 looked ripe for his new station. Up in suburban Mount Vernon, Andy Harris and Barbara Brown decided to squat at 90.1. Across the Hudson, in North Jersey, Zano Gutierrez was running an extracurricular operation at 88.9 in Irvington, while Boney Matray was doing the same thing at 87.9 from his apartment in Irvington. Meanwhile, in nearby Passaic, Jorge Hernandez was operating at 88.9 out of some rented space up in an attic. And up in the state capital of Albany, George Young, David Roberts, and Michael Miller were all cited for involvement in an unlicensed 89.7 FM broadcast. And down in Philly, Dean Lloyd was busted for operating at 92.9 from some leased property in suburban Upper Darby. The Federal Communications Commission orders all these unlicensed radio operators to cease operations immediately, and it can issue fines of up to $10,000 or more. Problem is, pirates often shut down for a suitable period, then resurface on another frequency, and the whole whack-a-mole routine starts all over again. Before we close this edition of the DX Audio Service, I have to make a special announcement. The next issue of the DX Audio Service may come late. I'm going up to Michigan to help my brother out, who's having some rather serious surgery at the University of Michigan Medical Center, and I may not be back in time for the 20th of the month publishing schedule, so your DX Audio Service may come out late. I ask that you please do not call other members, editors, or the board of directors and ask where your issue is. Be patient. It will come to you just as soon as I get back into town and put it together. If you have any concerns, please call me at area code 419-228-6223. If your number is not in the whitelist, please send me a card or a letter with your telephone number so it can be unblocked. Thanks, and we'll see you next month on the DX Audio Service.